Good. So let's try to get through these two, and I don't think we should spend a third week on it. Fine. So the first question I want to look at, so this was in the Sefer Samderach of Rav Broida. He has a very interesting claim. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I do think it's fascinating. And he takes the following theological claim about the nature of the world. He says, this is on page 10, that in Bereishit, when God says that people, human beings, v'chiv shua, should conquer the world, from the Ramban, he says, Notan len kochum em shalab ba'aretz la'asot kirtanam. God is thereby giving human beings authority to do as they want over the world, which is not a given, because the world should be God's. This sukkah is still shedding tzach. Fine. But from this, Rav Broida suggests that, look, fundamentally, the world, the universe, broadly speaking, really belongs to God. And we shouldn't be able to do anything to change the world. Based on that, he suggests that it could be that our authority is only given over planet Earth, and therefore, once we enter the Yarech and the Kochavim and things like that, which, as he notes in certain places in Chazal, they understand the Chaman Nilvana to be part of Shamayim, human beings have no authority, and therefore, his conclusion is, that based on this, it should be forbidden for, 1 second. It should be forbidden for human beings to build anything on the moon, because we simply don't have authority over space. So that's Rav Broida's very fascinating claim. I don't know if anyone has actually responded to this claim. You know, to me it seems a bit odd, rather to say than the world, meaning whatever we can reach, we have control. God, ceded control, let us live lives. But anyways, that's his claim. But as we said last week, the main question we would deal with halachically is the question of all the mitzvot, which are tluyot bizman, right, that are contingent on time. And by that we mean Shabbat, we mean tefillin, kriyat shema, tefillah, eating matzah and chametz on Pesach issues, Sfirah Omer, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, take your pick. Any mitzvah that is contingent on time. And here, the poskim, who were dealing with this question, which, what you have here, the tshuva of Rav Zinger, Rav Yitzchak Shechter, and then the summary in this kuntim in Etzek Shemayov, really the halachic issues here are expansions of the machloko that were already asked with regards to certain northern parts of the world, where, you have 3 months of winter and 3 months of summer and things like that. We mentioned last week some of them. There are places in Norway that are like this. There are places in Canada, in Nunavut, which fall into this. See, now I have a Canadian here, so now she understands. Yes, thank you. Yes, Barry Pekas tells me that this determines when he goes to, you know Barry? He lives on Clinton. He lives on Clinton Park. Barry Pekas. He lives like on Clinton Park between Lowesmore and whatever is south of that, Gladiola, or somewhere in between there. Anyways, so he's a doctor, and he spends a few weeks, every 2 months, he spends like 2 weeks or something like that up in Nunavut, treating the people in Nunavut. And he says he has to determine when he goes based on what will create Shabbos Shailas because of this suffix, because if you go farther enough in Nunavut, there is no, right, the sun doesn't rise for 3 months, right, which creates all these Shailas. So I remember he said he once tried to get stock on this from someone, but no one really likes Paschal Yom Shailas. So So a lot of the discussions are similar there. You got a chance to read some of these tshuvos? Okay, well, let's go back through it. Theoretically speaking, okay, what are the different ways to relate to the time question, and what would that look like in the context of space? So what do you think? Right, throw it out there, give me a justification for it. What do you think? Anybody? Right, if you want, assuming you think you're chayav in mitzvah, well, assuming you think you're chayav in mitzvah at all, right, how do you relate to time-bound mitzvah? Because even if you assume, not like Rav Fier, but like Rav Kasher, that you are obligated in mitzvah in space, but the reality is the sun isn't rising the same way and setting in the same way. So how do you relate to time mitzvah? Again, when do you keep Shabbat? When do you daven? When do you say Shema? When do you put on tefillin? When do you eat matzah? When do you avoid chametz? Yeah. Good. Right, so one possibility is to say, look, space does not easily lend itself to figuring out what day it's supposed to be, what time it's supposed to be. But what you do sometimes when we're not sure, and this is, again, one of the positions in terms of when you travel to whatever, right, is that basically you pick a spot where there is normal times and you follow it, right? Now, there are different sub-variants of that, both in the northern Shaila and in the space Shaila, right? One is it depends on where you left from. Right. Others are, it depends on where you reside, right, like your time. But yeah, one is to say, look, there is no way of gauging in space what time anything is, and therefore what you should do is pick basically based on where you were, right? That's one possible model. What's another possible model? Yeah. Right, so another is to, and this is nightmarishly complicated, is to say, no. In space, there is no day or night, per se, but you are parallel on the Earth at any given time to a place on Earth that has a time and has a date. And what you should do is not just, you know, basically start counting 24-hour periods from when you left Earth, right, but is actually to figure out where you are. Right? Now, this is problematic, practically, because, not necessarily conceptually, that may be the right answer, but practically it's nightmarish, because how many times do you go around the Earth on an average spaceship? 16 times every 24 hours. So if this was the position, that would functionally mean, right, that you would go through the day 16 times, which means that at least the day-based mitzvot. Well, figuring out would be very hard. Sorry, no, now I'm conflating two positions. It would just be hard, right, because you're going around 16 times, so figuring out where you are is very, very complicated, right? What's another position? Yeah. Right. Good. So the next possibility is, no, it's not where you are now, it's that on Earth, a day is every time the sun rises and sets, which is caused by the rotation of the Earth on its axis. But here you've flipped it. You're going around the Earth. And therefore, every time you go around the Earth, it's a day. What that means functionally is that you have 16 days in every 24-hour period. So that means that every 24 hours, you say Kriyat Shema 32 times. If you're davening three times a day, you daven 48 times in a 24-hour period. You put on tefillin 16 times if you're putting on tefillin. If Shabbos is 2/16 whatever of every day, right? It's every 7 times 1.5, right? Whatever you start from, so every 7 1.5 hour periods, right? So every 10.5 hours would be Shabbos, right? But presumably, if you carry that to its logical extreme, so, right? So every one second. So let's say, right, so if it's 16 days per day, so then you got to deal with calendrical questions like the Yomim Tovim, right? Because every approximately 6 months, right, so every 180 rotations, right, so in 10 days you have 160 rotations, right, so you're talking every a little over 11 days, right, you would have Pesach Sukkot every 11 or so days, right? Because you would have done, right, 180 or so rotations, right? But that's another logical possibility, right? So, what else? Any other logical possibilities? Yeah. Very good, right? If you follow the model from the Gemara that we saw last week, you would say, well, maybe every seventh day you have to treat it as Shabbos. Now, most people assume that's Dirabbanan, right? Though not totally clear. There's actually a piece in the Radbaz that implies not that way, and in the Magid Meisharim, which is the mystical work of Rabbi Yosef Karo, he says this explicitly, that sugya teaches you that you, in some sense, make your own Shabbos. So maybe every seventh day, every seventh rotation or something, even if you don't, so this could translate different ways, right? One would be, we derive from here, when there is no way of figuring out time, you create your own Shabbos, which would be every seventh something. The alternative is to say, no, in space there is no time whatsoever, and all the halacha of time fundamentally don't apply, but nevertheless, every seventh something, you should do a symbolic Shabbos, just like we do in the desert, to not forget that Shabbos is a concept, right? Yeah. Oh, fine, right. You could also derive from that sugya that because we can't figure out the answer, what you should do is never do anything which isn't Pikuach Nefesh, and nevertheless, every seventh something, do make Kiddush to acknowledge Shabbos, but never do something which isn't correct, right? Then you got to figure out, well, what do you daven? Do you always daven Shabbos? Do you daven Chol? Probably Chol, who knows, right? And you never eat chametz, right? And always eat matzah. I mean, you know, we're getting very tricky here, right? The sukkah, I got it. You know, that's not a, whatever. I mean, I get it. You're under the stars, and even though that's not a real halacha, and you have to see the stars, you know, you fulfilled that lemahadrin minimahadrin up there, but if you open up the roof and just put on, you know, bamboo leaves, you know, you can do a symbolic one like this, right? Like tape leaves, which of course will ignite into flames as soon as you go into orbit, but fine. Figure it out. I don't know. And yet, a lot of these positions are similar to those that were presented in terms of the northern parts of the world. Some of them were obviously unique to space. Now, to be fair, the shittos here are pretty clear. So let me actually flesh out some of the shittos. And I have been told that next week we don't have class, so I don't want this to spill over into 2 weeks from now. So let me at least get out the positions, and then we can, you know, take up whatever you want. But you have the sources here. Next week, apparently, you're doing something for Thanksgiving at this time. I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's Thanksgiving dinner. I don't know if you're off. I don't know if people are watching sports. I don't know what you're doing. I have no idea. I know we're giving, you know, after parents on learning at Migdal, we're letting them watch sports. I don't know. My wife is very, very against us doing this because she's Canadian. So, like, and Canadians find it weird that Americans celebrate Thanksgiving, because in Canada, Thanksgiving is nothing. Thanksgiving is one of the very many legal holidays that Canada has because they like legal holidays. Okay, they just...
So wait, you celebrate but not having...
It's in October. Canadian Thanksgiving is in October. Canada has one legal holiday a month, just because they do. Some of them they've given names, and some of them they haven't, right? Like, in Ontario, what, the August one is Simcoe Day, isn't it? But in Quebec, it's just called, like, bank holiday or something like that, or legal holiday or whatever. Well, that's September. But the August one, I think it's Simcoe Day. I don't know. I've got to say, it baffles me. In Canada, it is illegal for most stores to open on these legal holidays. You get fined unless you get a permit, which created, my first year in Toronto was a big problem because one of these legal holidays, probably Labor Day, was Erev Rosh Hashanah, and Sobeys could not close. Erev Rosh Hashanah, I mean, that was like, so Sobeys had to like make a special deal with the government to get a new, it was very like, Sobeys is like a regular supermarket, which happens to have a, like, because it's in the from neighborhood, has like a kosher bakery and kosher butcher and kosher everything, but it's not like a Jewish-owned store. It's just like a chain of supermarkets. But like, it is the most lucrative Sobeys in the country, is this one in Thornhill, because, yeah, it brings in, like, the week before Pesach, it grosses something like $1 million a day. It's a very interesting phenomenon, but yes. Oh, yes, that's what it was, right? They called it Civic Holiday, thank you. But they tried Simcoe Day. I don't remember when Simcoe Day is. Yes, I know you have Flag Day. But Thanksgiving is October. It's October is Canadian Thanksgiving Day. And it's not a Thursday, right? It's a Monday or something. I don't know. Whatever. Point is, Canadians think that Americans are weird because we in any way acknowledge Thanksgiving, because nobody, including everybody else in Canada, acknowledges Canadian Thanksgiving. So, like, they don't understand why we would do that. So I won't be doing that, but you can enjoy. In Efrat, there are enough Americans that you feel like it is Thanksgiving, right? The stores start selling cranberry sauce and whatever, and pumpkin and whatever. Fine. So, but these were the main shilas that were asked, were the Zmanim shilas. He really asked about Shabbat, but like we said, similar questions can be asked basically about any of the time-related questions. So these were the main positions that were presented. So one position was that basically you should, arbitrarily, basically, treat every day as a 24-hour period with 12 hours a day and 12 hours of night, because you can't really determine day or night in space. It's a little bit weird, and it's a little bit problematic, because, you know, you're going around the Earth 16 times, and 12 hours is pretty arbitrary, right? We very rarely, except at equinox, have 12-hour days and nights, but that's basically one position, that you arbitrarily have a 24-hour day, 12 of which is day, 12 of which is night, and then you just work from there. And how you start counting, again, there you can divide. Is it from where you leave or from where you live? Ilan Ramon's preference, which is the one that they actually told him, was whatever counting you do, count from Israel. That was his preference. But that's basically what you do. You count 24-hour periods, so you more or less stick on pace with planet Earth. The second position was, in fact, the position that, no, 16 times around, that's 16 days and 16 nights every 24-hour period, which, again, 32 times Kriyat Shema, 48 times Tefillah, and Shabbos twice every 24 hours, a little bit more. And again, as people pointed out, the conclusion of this would be, in fact, that Pesach would be every, 6 months would pass by in 11 days, right? That's what it would happen. The third position was, as we said, pick the part of the earth where you actually are, right? Try to calculate that, though that's really, really, really hard. Because, of course, what that would mean is, you know, right, like, think about Shabbos, right? If you're doing it based on where you are and you go around 16 times in 24-hour periods, that means that, right, it's Shabbos, it's not Shabbos, it's Shabbos, it's not, right, you're, like, zigzagging, right? It's a very, very complicated reality. The fourth possibility was to say, no, really, and this was Rav Halperin's position, mid d'oraisa, no time-bound mitzvah actually apply in space. And you're actually exempt not from all mitzvah, from time-bound mitzvah, and with the exception of Shabbat, which every seventh day you should mark as Shabbat, based on the case of being lost in the midbar, right? So in fact, all these positions played out, yeah. So then you got it, right, then it gets complicated. What happens when you come back, right? How do you integrate? Right, it's a very hard position because maybe you have to say onus, right? I mean, what choice do you have? You have to sleep at some point and you're going to miss several days, right? Yeah, I mean, it's a very complicated position. So to now put names to these, yeah. Well, right, you have to figure out how do you integrate back into society in that sense, right? Are you forever on your own calendar? Presumably not. Presumably once you return to Earth, you reintegrate. But maybe not for Shavuot, because Shavuot, right, this I mentioned last week, the Lubavitcher Rebbe felt Shavuot is an exception to the rule. Because there's no date in the Torah for Shavuot, right, it's just 49 days from Pesach, so potentially Shavuot, you actually would celebrate on a different day, because it's whenever you count it, right? Okay. So Rav Zinger was asked this Shiloh, the author of the Nitzei Gabriel. So what was his conclusion? So he said, and this is on page 4. So the end of the first column, he suggests that it should be the 24-hour period, right, that you should stay on 24-hour periods. And he suggests that you should start counting the 24-hour periods from when you get on the spaceship. Right, so if you look at the top of column 2, he says, "In gains man shirat Shabbat nechshav l'fi makom shenachod olam atos v'chav shvin and chav dalat shavot v'azav yom ad yegil yom hashvi'i shiyei Shabbat kodesh." Right, that basically you start counting 24 hours from whenever you go up into space. Right, that is his suggestion. Now he doesn't really like going to space. So if you look at the bottom of the last column, he says, "Ulamaaseh shoel lo shal and rashal and soa." Right? No one asked me if it's mutter to go. I don't like it. He asked me what to do. Raketu l'sader lo nesiyash lo yichilu shabbat gamur lochem yadenu and lafrishom mechem shom bavur b'shut isur nesiyado. I can't tell him it's usher. No one ever asked this question before, so I don't know. But lochem nirei la'atir open shein tzarich lechalal shabbat gam sham b'matos. So his suggestion is basically start counting 24-hour periods from when you leave, and on Shabbat, on that calculation, he shouldn't do anything, if possible, and leave it to the non-Jews. Right? That was Rav Zinger's position. If you turn to page 5, Rav Yitzchak Schechter was asked this as well. And again, he notes the same sfeikot, the same doubts of what you should do. And he notes it's very hard to say that you would have really a 24-hour period because there is no day, there is no night. So what he thinks instead is that every seventh day he should put on Shabbos clothes, right? Or some way acknowledge that it's Shabbos. For Shacharis and Mincha, basically he says that every 24 hours, he at the beginning of the day he should daven Shacharis, towards the end of the day he should daven Mincha, and basically, again, like Rav Zingmer, he basically feels that you should mimic the normal schedule on a 24-hour period, right? That's his position. If you turn to page 6, though, this is the summary position of Emesek Shemaya, and he notes the range of positions. This is from Rav Halperin, and that's where he says, so you can see, he divides them into Efshariot. So Efsharut Rishona, first possibility is Michad Gizin Al-Goshim Amash Shleima, Lager Zogobot Eshvim Marba Shaot. Possibility one is when 24 hours go past, Kimishu Zohan, Shemesh Rishona in Laila, Shemesh Rishona in Yom, Iblila, Chayt, Paul, Shriva. One is this 24-hour position with 12 hours of day and 12 hours of night, but he rejects this because he says it makes no sense to arbitrarily call 12 hours day and 12 hours night when you go around the earth 16 times. Besides, he notes, again, if you just follow the underlines, you'll see, he said the biggest problem with this is that earth doesn't have 12-hour days and 12-hour nights, so this is completely arbitrary, and therefore he doesn't like the 12-hour, 12-hour, or 24-hour position, even though that's for Zinger, he doesn't like it. Second possibility is the 16 days per 24-hour period. And again, we've talked about the nafkaminas of putting on the tefillin and shema, and two Shabbatot any 24 hours, and Pesach every 11 days. He doesn't reject this position. He knows that it's quite hard, but he doesn't reject it out of hand. His third possibility on page 7 is to figure out exactly where you are parallel to. But again, his position is that really there should be no time at all, right? The halachic issues that are totally in time just don't apply. And if you look at page 8 where the little hand points, the little arrow, his conclusion is nirei efokid over pasher ki legabe achalal ein makom klal gledion udak loyom ikra din einam noagim. He thinks that the truth is not these 24-hour periods, but that really there is no time, that all time-related halachos don't apply in space. But he says, as we mentioned before, he expands the Gemara that we mentioned from Shabbat and says not only every seventh day should you keep Shabbat, but you should try to daven and put on tefillin and mimic the days, not biblically, but what he derives from the Gemara of the person in the Midbar is that in any case when you can't actually fulfill the time-bound mitzvah in the biblical way, you're supposed to at least mimic it rabbinically so that you don't forget the existence of that mitzvah. And that's what he learns from the Gemara in Shabbat. He expands it at the bottom of page 8, right? Mistaber ad ma'od, he makes sense to Rav Halperin that kishem shalav l'kayim mitzvot ha-shabbat kedesh lo tishtakach mimenu Torah Shabbat. Just like you're supposed to keep some sort of Shabbos every 7 days, so you don't forget Shabbat. Kach alav lekayem gamet kol yeter mitzvot atluyot bizman hein mitzvot deraita hein mitzvot derabanan. That you should keep all the mitzvot biblical and derabanan in order not to forget them. And therefore, if you turn to page 9. At the top of page 9, he says, "B'shel kach." His conclusion is, "Alav lachshov la'atzmo sidrei yamim v'leilot." You should calculate for yourself days and night. Shvot chadashim shanim v'vichish cheshbon zeh shel eshvim arba shel liyamama. Right, make your own calculation of 24 hours, and that's true for Chag. That's true for Shabbat. Next paragraph, "Achra'ui shekol mitzvot shezmanam bayom yakpid l'kayem davko dan sha'ot." What you should try to do is arbitrarily pick your 12 hours a day, 12 at night, and in order to maintain your religious schedule, even though fundamentally you're not really obligated, you should do day mitzvah during the 12 hours that you've now called day, and the night mitzvah in the 12 hours that are your Nice. So at the bottom of page 9, he gives you his summary. Right, let's just read the summary together. B'chol mitzvot ha-Torah. In all mitzvot, whether hey mitzvot ha-Tzeh, mitzvot lo ta-Tzeh, whether they're positive or negative, she'inan tol yud lo b'makom lo b'zman, that are not time or geography dependent, chayav kol adam Yisrael b'chol makom shun im sabo, hein al p'nei kadorah, hein b'chalal. You're obligated in all mitzvot in heaven or on earth. Point 2. Kamuvan shekol mitzvot ha-mugbalot rak makom mitzvot kamo mitzvot ha-tol yud ba'aretz. Oh, mitzvot nagad rak Yerushalayim v'Ben Hamikdash and nagad kal v'chalal. Any geographical mitzvot, those that have in Israel, Yerushalayim, Ben Hamikdash, don't apply in space because you're not in Yerushalayim, Israel, whatever. Point 3. His argument, v'chalal einet sidrei hazmanim ha-mo'adim ha-no'agim al-pnei kedor ha-aretz. Fundamentally, chagim, Shabbat, don't apply. V'lachin meikar adim einam no'agim sham kol mitzvot adinim ha-chayuvim. Day and night mitzvot just don't apply in space. But in order to not forget the rhythm of religious life based on the Gemara and Shabbat of the person lost in the Midbar, you should calculate 24 hours from where you left. Base your Shabbos and things like that on that. Point 4. Tzitzit, he notes, is not really dependent on day or night. It's at least for Ashkenazim, it's dependent on whether you're wearing day clothes or night clothes. And therefore, he thinks that you can be Mekayin in the mitzvah tzitzit. His fifth point, now he moves beyond to some other halachot. He thinks that you are allowed to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana from a spaceship, which admittedly is probably cool, as long as you are passing by the dark parts of the earth, the places where the earth will see the moon see it as night at that point. That's how he wants to do it. He thinks that if you had a baby in space, right now he's getting very imaginative, you should do the Pidyon HaBen after 30, 24 hour periods, right? He's really going through everything. Yeah. Point 7. If a married couple goes up there and the woman needs to go to the Nida, you must wait to find a mikvah on earth. Thank you. Right? He thought of everything. When I was in Smicha, there was a rabbi who worked in the as a chaplain in the army who said he had a problem with this, that his he was posted somewhere in the middle of nowhere in Alaska where they had no mikvah, and the closest mikvah was in Seattle. Right, so when his wife needed to use the mikvah, she would just take a Gulf Streamer from this like middle of nowhere back to Seattle, and he told us that at some point someone realized what was going on and felt that it was a misuse of government property because it wasn't an emergency, so brought it to the general, right? So the general calls him in and he says, Rabbi, I hear that you've been using the Gulf Streamer, what's going on? So he said, well, we have a religious thing that, after my wife menstruates, we're forbidden to be together unless she goes to a ritual bath. He's trying to explain it. And he said that the general said to him, wait a second, are you telling me that unless your wife goes to this bath, you can't be together? That's an emergency if I ever heard one. Keep taking the plane, right? So, but apparently there's no such easy solution from space. Point 8 he makes is if someone is in Avilut, so 7 24-hour periods, Brit Milah, again, he's imagining sort of, the world of like, what was the movie we were talking about, Leslie, Passengers, fine, right? You have a baby there, Brit Milah, etc. But that's basically a survey of the positions. I will note that even though Rick Halperin's suggestion is that this 24-hour period should be based on wherever you left, the position that was actually given to Ilan Ramon was, if you remember on page 1, just turn back to page 1 and then I'll take questions, was to count the 24-hour period, but starting not from where he left, but from Eretz Yisrael, right? That he did 24 hours, but starting on Shavuot Eretz Yisrael, because the Posek who actually asked it to saw no reason to arbitrarily say it was based on where you left to go to space, but rather it was perfectly legitimate to pick the arbitrary starting point to be Eretz Yisrael. Some of the other Shilas that came up are here in this Kuntres, but that is an overview of some of the main Shilas that were asked. It's fascinating because it was actually a real Shila. I think it pushes on some fundamental philosophical and halachic issues. The latter half of it deals with some details in Kiddush Levana, and some hashkafic issues, but those are at least the main issues that come up in space. Yeah, go.
Yeah, so